get back. I'm a project. Keep your hands off of my stack.
Greg Farrell is the president and CEO of Farrell Wealth and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good morning. Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth, and the show is Money Matters with Greg here at WVLP 103.1 FM. We're excited to have you here today listening in. We have a number of things to go over as far as the markets go, as far as some of the apps that I'm looking to help you out with to mention to help you with your finances. The show's about money. We talk about money and how we can help you save some and make some as you go out throughout your life. So find us on Twitter at Farrell Wealth. You can also find us on iTunes and hope you're able to grab us out there and listen to some of the topics we talk about on the show at iTunes on podcast. We are just search Money Matters with Greg and you can find us there. And we have an hour-long show. Love talking about any way we can be able to help you save some money, invest some money, and create some money. We are a wealth management group, only wealth management group out of Valparaiso, Indiana, and we help a number of clients throughout the nation. Started the show about a year and a half, a little over 2 years ago, and have really seen just an improvement over time as we get better. The first few shows, I certainly was they weren't recordable. Let's just put it that way, but we're getting better and excited to have you with us as we move along. We talk a little bit of sports here, try to keep it brief, but we are very excited about our Cubs around here. That was a great way to go 2-0 and taking care of business the way we need to take care of business. We're a little bummed about our Bears over here. We're in northwestern Indiana, so many of the sports teams that we have here are Chicago teams. We all follow the Chicago teams. The Colts beat our Bears this weekend, so the Bears didn't pull out a win, but we are pulling for our Cubs in this area big time and very excited to be up 2-0 with a big game tonight. Hopefully going against Bumgarner tonight's going to be brutal, but we're excited to be able to have a chance to be doing what we're doing and taking care of business. That being said, as far as taking care of business goes, we talk about the markets here early on. We usually give a recap, and then we kind of follow through with some of the things we're going to talk about today. So just for the podcasting world out there, we're going to talk about the market initially, and then we're going to go right into some apps that can help you achieve your goals and also help you with your investing. So I'm going to mention a couple apps that we really, really like. I really want to go into how stocks work and sort of do a teaching moment on that as far as explaining what stocks are and how they work. We did a really nice we had a really nice conversation the other week about how bonds work and how those all work, but I wanted to be able to talk about stocks, so we're going to go into that. We have a couple different topics talking about getting paid for going green. I would like to be able to talk about social investing and the different types of investments that are out there, and then we're going to talk about how you can stop wasting some money out there as well. So the show's phone number is 219-476-9000. Please feel free to call in and mention something. We're on Twitter at Farrell Wealth. You can just reach out to us and tweet to us as well. We have had a number of requests to kind of talk about the format, to sort of make things a little briefer, a little shorter, with snippets and whatnot. So we're working on that as far as being able to develop that conversation piece for many of the podcasters out there that want the 5 minute or 10 minute podcast, trying to break up the show a little bit about that. But for the most part, it's an hour long show called Money Matters for Greg. And just want to thank Greg Kovach for all of his hard work that he does here as an engineer. Wouldn't be able to do it without him. And, very excited to be able to have another show. So that being said, want to be able to mention one thing. 19 years of marriage, very happily married to my dear wife. Today is our anniversary. So excited to be able to say happy anniversary, Liz. I love you. And thanks for all that you do and putting up with me throughout all these years. And I have a wonderful family and very proud of it. And it's all because of you. So thank you for all that you do. And again, thanks for putting up with me. Happy anniversary. With that, we're going to talk about the market. So love talking the markets and the investments world. Look, jobs report was last week. That was busy. Made things a little crazy on Friday. Jobs were lower. Stocks were lower. Jobs kind of fell short on the overall number that we were expecting. U.S. equities we really tracked kind of lower with global markets on the Friday of October 7th last week. And there was this highly anticipated non-farm jobs, non-farm payrolls report. And although it was strong, it failed to meet the consensus. And major indices finished mixed overall, with really the only session that was up was materials as they moved more than 0.5%. But stocks in Asia fell modestly ahead of the payroll report before. And both the Hang Seng and the Nikkei closing lower by 0.4 and 0.2. Treasuries showing a modest gains in the yield of the 10-year. You're seeing that overall as the anticipation of rates are being risen. You've seen a 10-year note that has fallen actually to 1.74, but it's up considerably from where it was. And oil is lower, but holding that $50 a barrel number that we've been watching and talking about overall every single week. Now today we're up 144 points in the Dow. We're up 0.79%. So right now as we talk, up 0.79% in the Dow. The FTSE's up 0.76%. That's up 53 points. The S&P is up 16 points. It's up 0.75%. The Treasury again is right about 1.72. So that affects your overall rates. And crude is up. So oil is up another 3% today. That's over $1.61. And that is certainly interesting. Make sure you, when you're going out to, if you need a tank of gas, today would probably be the day to do it, because just in a matter of days, it's usually relative about 2 or 3 days around this area in the Midwest, depending on where your refineries are. But Brent crude was up $1.44, and crude futures were up $1.61. So interesting to see what's happening with the markets overall as far as that goes. We had the second presidential debate yesterday. It was interesting to follow what the markets were doing as far as that goes. We have been tracking this election process on this show, and certainly in the investment world, every single day. But as far as what we've sort of had the longevity look at it, because there are a number of polls out there that say, you know, it's 50-50, but we know for a fact the market has said it's over an 85% guarantee right now, chance that the Hillary Clinton will be our next president. So we're watching what the markets are saying, and the markets are saying it's Hillary Clinton by a landslide. So depending on your, you know, doesn't matter about your political persuasion as far as those go, and it's what the market is saying. The market is saying right now, that's what we're following, that it'll be a Clinton presidency. Now, along with the job creation slowing, there's still well enough to keep the Fed on track overall. The economy added 156,000 jobs into September and a small deceleration from August, upward revision of 167,000. But you take into account the upward revision, and the report was really in line with consensus. The unemployment rate ticked up to 5%, but for the right reason, as more workers joined the labor force, while hourly wages accelerated to 0.2 month over month from 0.1%. The U.S. economy created 178,000 jobs per month so far in 2016, and that's below the 240,000 number per month average in 2014-2015, but more than enough to tighten the labor market and push up wages, which keeps the Fed Reserve on track to raise rates in the late 2016, or if not early 2017. You had a couple different things, but the pound was really interesting last week. There was a flash crash in the pound. Many people talking, you probably remember the flash crashes that have happened in this country in the stock market. But the pound sterling had a flash crash last Thursday. The sterling crashed more than 6% in a matter of seconds during early Asian trading. And it has since rebounded sharply, but it's still off more than 2% going into Friday of last week. And this comes on the heels of significant weakness earlier this week as well. The big question is really what caused the 6% crash. What caused this in the first few seconds? And the computer's algorithms that take most of the blame. Rumors of a quote-unquote fat finger trade are floating out there as well. There's really no confirmation as far as we know. But, you know, at the same time, the chance of a hard Brexit fall continues to gain momentum as the pound has dropped below, looking today. I have to look up, it's right around 125. So if there's ever a time to go to England and you'd like to take a vacation with the family and get a bargain, it's the best bargain you've had in 30 years. So, you know, note to self, we'd like to go get a pint of Guinness and go over to enjoy London. Now's the time to go. So this week coming up, markets will be open on Monday for Columbus Day, which is today. Which is just so you know, it's not a market holiday. But highlights for the week include release minutes of the Fed's September policy meeting on Wednesday and retail sales data on Friday. We'll also be getting reports on the small business sentiment on Tuesday, labor market conditions on Wednesday, and job opening and labor takeover survey as well. The U.S. University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Survey comes out on Friday. That's a big number. And there's going to be a busy lineup of Fed speakers and throughout the week, highlighted by Fed Chair Janet Yellen's keynote address in Boston on Friday. International data you're going to see include loan growth, trade data from China, business sentiment in Germany, and retail sales and machinery orders as well. So, as always, a busy week, and some things to think about. One of the questions we got actually on Twitter after this last week was, are European banks a good long-term buying opportunity? Look, we believe European banks are risky. They're an aggressive trade right now at this point, without a doubt. We do maintain some allocations to the broad European equities overall and a diversified portfolio, but we've really yet to add any exposure back into European bank financials. You have a number of risks in Italy. You have a number of risks still in Greece. So the answer to that is, are European banks a good long-term buying opportunity? And it's just not yet. Looking at this, what happened with Deutsche Bank and what's going on with their stock, you have to be very, very careful. So if you are to do something like that, as we talk about, as always, do your homework and make sure you've done your due diligence, you feel comfortable about an aggressive trade like that. Another question we had, we've been having this question every single week, I feel like I get it almost every day, is the election going to have what is the election going to have an effect on overall prices, the overall market? And right now this question has to do with gold prices. We see an evidence of an effect in stock prices without a doubt, but really not much of an effect in gold. Gold can thrive in crazy environments, and the uncertainty surrounding Trump's policies could offer some support to the commodity. But right now, we're not seeing it just because, again, the market has really stuck to this Clinton presidency win. Now, gold is up a little today, but it has been absolutely annihilated in the past few weeks, with gold miners mainly have dropped between 30% and 40%. Now, gold spot is at $1,260 right now an ounce. So, looking at that and the commodities overall, everything looks up right now as far as the commodities go. So, as far as the reports go, as long today, we're not necessarily seeing an effect overall. Now, one other question that came up was Hurricane Matthew. Is oil going to be affected by Hurricane Matthew? And I think that's part of the reason that we're up today. in oil, but nothing awful. You know, it wasn't as bad as expected, but it was still bad. And you always have to be able to make sure you're getting through hurricane season, as these refineries might have negative effect on refineries and shipping delays, of course, and that might build inventory backlogs. So you want to be careful as far as that goes. But overall, we're not after the aftermath, looking after this weekend, we're not necessarily seeing such an effect on oil. With that being said, we have going into the fourth quarter, as far as the preview goes, I want to talk about fourth quarter preview. We're kind of having a deja vu with what happened last year. And then also what's happening, this year right now. It's feeling very, very similar to what happened last year, with the Federal Reserve pointing to another December rate hike. Investors are really getting a sense of this deja vu. And although the grand arc of the Fed story may be the same, conditions in fixed income markets outside of the potential hike have really changed. And we preview a sort of, I want to preview this today and what's in store for the fixed income markets in the fourth quarter of 2016. Right now, we're seeing a rate hike expectations, like we've been mentioning. They've been pointing towards a December rate hike in December 2016. And that was very similar to last year when they actually did it. But yields are lower and prices are higher, and this is the same as last year. So it's very interesting. We're seeing deja vu in the markets. But in addition to the presidential election, the Fed meeting in December will likely be a main driver of fixed income markets, without a doubt, in the fourth quarter. You want to be watching this as far as your fixed income investments, but also an opportunity. During the third quarter, fixed income markets increasingly priced in a rate hike in December, and the difference between Fed funds futures and contract rates and the current Fed funds rate can kind of indicate how much the Fed action markets are expecting. So currently, the implied rate differential between December 2016 contract and the current Fed funds rate suggests markets are pricing in a 0.23 increase in the next 3 months. At this same time, though, last year, markets were pricing in a 0.0 increase in the subsequent 3 months, and additionally, the trend in 2015 had been much of a downward trend, indicating that investors had been incrementally discounting the December rate hike during the third quarter. Now, in the third quarter of 2016, by contrast, investors have been gradually increasing their expectations of a rate hike. Because the market's on guard for a rate hike, it's much less likely to be shocked by one, and we believe this adds to the case that although rates may rise in response to December rate hike, they may not rise violently, and as witnessed in the taper tantrum in 2013. But it is something to seriously consider and watch. So we're watching it every day and trying to bring it up on the show. Some of the caution that's warranted is the economically sensitive sectors that have historically weathered periods of interest rate hikes better than their high quality counterparts. But richer valuations relative to a year ago really warrant a lot of caution. I want to be able to make sure we mention this. Although there's deja vu going on out there, it's definitely things are different. So I want you to make sure that you're paying attention to this as economically sensitive sectors and fixed income really during the third quarter 2016 have performed pretty well. So as valuations in the sectors have continued to increase, the susceptibility to pullbacks logically increases as well. High yield, for instance, which we believe is on the expensive side, I really believe that it's on the expensive side of fair value and it's overvalued at these moments. They've really enjoyed a 5.6% total return in third quarter, bringing this year-to-date return to 15.1%. This is based on Barclays U.S. High Yield Index. And as the market concerns itself with the rate hike and rate hike implications mounting here in the fourth quarter, back in 2015. High yield was hit very hard, returning negative 2.1% for the quarter, and the decline in price of oil was certainly the main cause. But the added layer of uncertainty about rate hikes exacerbated that that weakness for sure. So the pattern in emerging markets debt as well is similar to that of high yield weakness pre and immediately post Fed rate hike last year, followed by the strong rally in for most of 2016. Valuations are richer now than they were at that time last year. So it's really one that is one main reason why we believe that these sectors should be used as a small complement to high quality fixed income. And be very, very careful out there with high yield, because although they had meaningful yield in fixed income portfolios this year, current conditions kind of argue that the caution entering the fourth quarter is huge. Now, so where do you go to talk about fixed income? Well, with rates poised to rise in the fourth quarter of 2016, even though it would be modest, several sectors stand to potentially benefit. So where do you go if you want to be warned about high yield and emerging market debt valuations as being high? Well, bank loans and rising short-term interest rates were a tailwind for the bank loans over the third quarter in 2016, returning 3.3%, and increasing market conviction in a 2016 December 2016 rate hike would likely push short-term yields higher over that fourth quarter that we're coming into here. Bank loans could stand to benefit. The London Interbank Offered Rate, which is LIBOR, at 0.85 as of September 30, 2016. The base rate for many bank loans could be pushed above 1% floor, which the majority of issues would start to float with overall interest rates. So you want to be looking at that as far as bank loans with interest rates rising. You're going to be looking to capitalize on it. But you also have mortgage-backed securities would be the second offering. Although Treasury yields may rise over the quarter, we really expect to remain largely range-bound for the time being until volatility, may rise during the quarter, but we're still maintaining an estimate of the 10-year range, 10-year being between 1.5 and 1.75, maybe a little higher going into the end of the year. But a range-bound rate environment may be supportive of that of the mortgage-backed security world, where you can find a incremental value against that backdrop. So you want to be looking at those. You know, mortgage-backed securities could also show the strength relative to the higher quality fixed income options. So as interest rates rise, you would assume that those would be a possible opportunity as well. So with this year and it being deja vu, you know, the script may flip without a doubt, as far as the election-related volatility. Further weakness in European banks could have an effect, and other unforeseen events may throw a wrench in the Fed's presumed plan to rate hikes if something happens. But base case remains that the Fed will raise rates in 2016, and it's important to remember that although it's not set in stone, and the Fed has held off previously responses to stabilize the market, the Fed did so in a response to equity market weakness following China's currency devaluation in its September 2015 meeting and the Brexit-related concerns in September 2016. So market sentiment largely indicates that that the Fed is on track to hike interest rates in December. You heard it here first. Futures markets indicate that fixed income markets are doing well and are preparing for this. However, you know, it's really important that valuations are more expensive across most of the fixed income world. So the bonds that you own that are riskier are really expensive. And if there was ever a time to rebalance and to look to minimize those positions, now would probably be the time. You'd be selling it at a very high valuation. So, with that being said, make sure you're careful out there, as we always mention, and want to be able to make sure that you're paying attention here, and we're bringing these things up to make sure that you are an informed investor. Information is key, and information is very important. With that being said, I want to be able to mention The Information is Power seminar series that we're presenting with Lashiak CPA here. Farrell Wealth is presenting a series of really very important and big brain people to talk about a number of different topics. And I've shown this on Facebook, on our Facebook page, and Twitter as well. Check it out when you get a chance. But we already had a fantastic long-term care presentation that was for you, for your parents, for maybe both. Casey Nelson of Pack Life did a great presentation for us on that. That was just recent, September 20th. We have WVLP host and adjunct professor Ron Bush coming on October 20th, and that is at 5:30 p.m. That's Staying Safe in a Very Scary World, Protecting Your Business in a Cyber World. So excited to have him. And then we have a property tax conversation with Todd Uzalak, Chief Executive Producer, or Chief Executive Officer at Innovative Property Tax Solutions. That's November 16th. So that's on our web. That's on our Facebook page. It's on our website, Fair Wealth. You can come and see those. Seating's limited. Obviously, that's free. And just a good topic. If you're looking to gain some knowledge out there about some investments, the reason we did cyber attack risk, one is Ron Bush, who you listen to the show at 8 o'clock in the morning here on WVLP. He was just on this morning, did a great show. He's very, very good at what he does. He was so good as a guest on my show that he started his own show, which is pretty cool. And very informative and very very educational. He'll tell you as a business owner, but not only as a business owner, as a as for your own personal use, how cyber attack risk is so important and making sure that you're protecting yourself. With that being said, this show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. We're excited that you're with us here today in this wonderful, fantastic fall day here in the Midwest. We're pulling for our Cubbies today, but right now we're going to take a break. It's 103.1 FM, WVLP. The show's Money Matters with Greg. We'll be back in a bit.
Money, 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 money. From that money machine, now you can better your manhood by it. Your children to try. You can't bring your enemies to their knees. With the impossible exception of the North, you get the beast. You take the strong kid from the money machine.
From that money machine.
Still on top of the world.
Strong kid from the money machine.
From that money machine. Still on top of the world. General Motors, IBM, Alphabell, CIO, Dollar King, Dan. When I began the game, see me singing about fire and rain. Let me just say it again, I've seen fives and I've seen tens. It was a strong hit from the money machine. Sail up top, on top of the wood. Strong hit, baby, from that money machine.
Money, 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 money.
Ha 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 ha.
Money, 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 money.
All right, thanks, James Taylor, and thanks to Greg Kovach for bringing in some new songs here. We're excited. That was a great song there, a lively song from JT. So looking forward to taking the show into the next level, and it's a lot of fun with a great engineer like Greg. He does a great job here, so thanks to Greg for all your hard work. The show's Money Matters with Greg, WVLP 103.1 FM. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth, a wealth advisory firm and money management firm here in Valparaiso, Indiana, and then also with a national presence with clients all over the nation. We have A lot of virtual presence. You can find us pretty much everywhere on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Also, our YouTube channel as well. Everything's Farrell Wealth. It's F-A-R-R-A-L-L. We like our name a lot, the way it's spelled, but most people are able to pronounce it off of the comedian Will Farrell. He spells it miserably wrong. The correct way to spell it, F-A-R-R-A-L-L. We love Will Farrell, but it's unfortunate that he chose so poorly with his name spelling, although I don't know how much he had to do with it. You never know. It is Hollywood. So, however, with our lineage and our past, we have F-A-R-R-A-L-L. You can find us at farrellwealth.com, Farrellwealth on Twitter, Farrellwealth on Facebook, and then, of course, LinkedIn and YouTube. You can also find us on iTunes, the shows Money Matters with Greg. You can search on that, search topics as much as you like. And we talked a number of different topics here. We talked earlier today about the markets, real quick, just going over the markets. And then we also talked a little bit about the bond world, seeing some deja vu from last year, just kind of seeing, you know, we're just seeing some crazy things that were definitely the exact same thing as last year. So isn't it interesting we'd be seeing, without a doubt, the same types of things, just especially going into election year, which is just amazing. So just recommending everybody be careful out there, that you are diversifying your portfolio and you're getting good advice, whether it be through a financial advisor, tax attorney, or accountant firm. Put your entire team together. We talk a lot about team here on this show. And we talk a lot about setting goals. Now, so along those lines here, going into setting goals, I want to talk about some personal finance apps that can help you with setting goals and getting things written down. I was told years ago by my father that you basically, if you have a goal, that's great, but if you don't write it down, it's just a dream. Another, Dr. Phyllis French was very influential in my life, and she said many of the same things. And it's very important that you write things down, because if they're not written down, they're just dreams. And it's great to have dreams, without a doubt, but don't expect to achieve them if you don't write them down. So one of the ways we're able to do that electronically now in the future is not necessarily have a sticky note or some sort of thing written on a piece of tape in front of your mirror on your bathroom. It's literally take it with you mobily. So one of the things I like to look at as far as a personal financial apps to help you keep you on track with your finances is really, since iPhone launched the iPhone App Store in July 2008, mobile applications obviously have exploded. We know this. In 2016, Statista reported that Apple customers have downloaded 130 billion apps. You know, on the other side of the smartphone universe, Android users have downloaded 65 billion apps since Google Play launched in 2010. And to put those numbers into perspective, that's over 26 apps downloaded for every person on the planet. And that's just a staggering number overall. So you've seen this mobile increase in companies trying to be able to make sure that they capitalize on the mobile world. And while many of these apps are games and social media programs, an increasing number have really developed into help individuals with their finances. And it leads into an interesting question. What should you look for in a personal app? Well, I'm going to try to help out and talk about a couple things that matter. This is on our website as well. You can go to farrellwealth.com, go to our resource center, and look up the PDF that is what to look for in personal financial apps. And just wanted to kind of review this and kind of go over it. It is a nice piece. It's two or three pages. You can download it if you like. It's free. Drop the PDF, save it, whatever you want to do. But one of the first things to consider in what type of financial apps is what may be most useful is, and this comes from Bankrate.com. They do a great job of being able to break them into kind of four categories. So one would be a budget tracking app. And it allows users to record those expenditures overall as you make and keep track of bank balances, budget categories. You know, some allow users to make a budget and then watch how closely expenditures are tracking it. So you can follow along the top, you know, top line. And when you're looking for an app, apps are only as useful as you make them. You know, an app may be able to help, you know, financial decisions and transactions, but it won't get you to stick to a budget. And that's why I want to be able to bring up a couple things that might actually help you here. There are also financial assistant apps. You have, they kind of collect and store and report information from users, you know, various savings, all you, from your various savings, investment accounts, savings accounts, and they provide a single place to keep track of that asset performance. That's probably one of my favorite ones to find, is these personal assistant apps. I think that they're probably best for usability and user abilities, budget tracking apps, and if they have a financial assistant app as well to be able to track things. I can't stand going to one site over another or another site, another app over another app. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to have one place? And there are a number of aggregating groups out there. Now looking at loan calculator apps, those estimate payments and current balances for loans. I don't know if I've really found much success on the loan calculator apps. I think there's so many other calculators are out there. You can find one on almost financial website out there. I mean, ours has one, a number of different calculators. I don't know how that really helps you overall with just an app, because you're only getting a loan once in a while. The apps I'm really talking about are the ones you're using every single day. And that would be maybe a spending or a saving app. And those allow users to kind of perform this wide range of what-if scenarios. What happens if my furnace breaks? What happens if someone in my family becomes sick? So once a user's really created their category of app that you want to be and use as useful, you know, there's really additional criteria. You want to think about the credibility of it all. And as everyone knows, not everything written on the internet is true. And you know, for example, Wall Street Journal and New York Times are generally considered more credible than your anonymous blog. But the same principle applies to apps. Understanding who's providing the information and why is very, very important. So we mentioned Ron Bush and the show that's just before us in cybersecurity. Well, with security, before using any financial app, you want to read the privacy and security statements without a doubt. And this can typically be found at the bottom of the company's webpage or in the About section of their website. If you don't find one online, contact the company to request a copy or be wary of downloading the app. It really comes down to it. If they're not willing to be transparent and give you their security and their privacy and security statement, then you have to really wonder why you're downloading what you're downloading. Another thing that's very important is clarity. You know, a personal financial app should provide information that is easily to understand. That's what we try to do here on the show, is try to make things simple. And there are some apps that provide detailed charts on stock performance using a wide range of financial analysis and you name it. But if you don't understand the underlying analysis, the app pretty much is useless. So you want to be careful that what you are seeing and what you're reading, you're able to understand. If you're not able to understand it, trust me, there's another app out there for you. So want to be able to make sure things are clear and you can use use the app in a very simple way. And then really relevance. I mean, it's all about you, right? I mean, where, how does this help you? How does this affect you? How does this help your family? And remember the old saying of, you know, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. And the same applies in financial information. A mutual fund company may be a great source of information about mutual funds, but it's much less useful by providing information about estate planning and helping you with tracking your finances. And so, you know, using an app to help with your personal finances may be a great first step to becoming a better money manager, and asking yourself a few questions before you download. You know, this may help you select that app that best fits your personal finance needs. I am a big fan of downloading an app and then deleting them. I highly recommend, if you do download apps and you're not using them, that you go through an app purge. Nowadays, you really need to be able to have these things. You know, as you purge your Facebook friends and your friend list, as you purge your Twitter followers, and you name it. I highly recommend you purge your apps too. There's just no reason to hold on to some of these things. So again, when you're looking for a personal financial app, you want to be able to make sure you've got you know, the four in mind, with budget tracking, financial assistant apps, loan calculator apps, spending and saving apps. And then you want to make sure your apps are credible, they have, they're secure, they're clear and understandable, and they have relevance. Now, Some of the apps that I'd like to be able to recommend to you that might help you with your goals. I'm all about goals and setting goals here. Writing goals down is very, very important. And the gap between setting the goals and achieving them can often be very difficult to bridge. But now with electronic offerings, you really can enhance the chances of achieving these personal goals. Reminders and motivation really are essential in keeping things moving. So making a New Year's resolution is simply just not enough. You have to keep after yourself on a regular basis. And wouldn't we all like to be able to have a reminder or have an app that actually helps you follow through? Well, I have a list of a few here that are going to be able to help you out. We've mentioned them on our Facebook page. You can find them at the Feral Wealth Facebook page. And a number of apps have developed in the recent years to help you pursue your goals and develop better life habits. So with health, there's wealth. With wealth, there's health. I always talk about both healthy body, healthy pocket, healthy pocketbook. And really, people saving for a variety of things in your retirement, you know, some dream of vacation homes and tropical destinations, and others plan to spend time with their grandchildren and their family and watch sports or travel and you name it. I've heard everything in the wealth management world and the world that I live in as an advisor, and it's amazing. There's no judgment. It's just everybody's different, and it's amazing what comes up. But of all the activities that you're saving for in retirement, did you know that, you know, healthcare may have the biggest price tag? And one study found that a man who would need to save $124,000 and a woman who would need to save $140,000 for healthcare in retirement if they want a 90% chance of being able to pay all their future medical bills. I mean, that's just a staggering number, and it's only going higher. So you want to be healthy, and you want to have a healthy pocketbook. I talk a lot about making sure you're taking care of yourselves not having unneeded expenses. And that, you know, that stat came from the Employee Benefit Research Institute in 2015. One of the ways you can help is an app called Optimized. Optimized is a goal-setting, daily tracking app that can analyze your activity as well as help set your goals, pursue them by charting your daily progress overall. So if you go to, it's Optimized, OPTIMIZED, and go Google them, put them on the website, and go search their website. They're going to really sort of analyze all those activities, kind of help you increase your ability to be healthy, along with a number of other things that I use personally, as well as Optimize is MyFitnessPal, RunKeeper, and a number of other things are going to help you with your goals overall. Now, in contrast to that app, which is more straightforward goal setting, and you can analyze those activities in your life to be able to help you keep on track, there's a number of other apps that actually are a little bit more severe. Many of us need accountability. And when I say accountability, I mean someone standing over us trying to remind us, not necessarily yell at us, but maybe some of us need yelled at. I don't necessarily know, but that's all your own personal being. But it's nice to have a reminder, isn't it? If you set a goal, it'd be really nice to have a subtle reminder or however you want to set it up. And there's a number of apps that have that sort of straightforward goal setting and tracking tool. And these apps allow you to just like add an extra layer of motivation that may be exactly what you kind of need. So let's try to turn those aspirations into reality with a great app called Stick. And it's STICK and then a capital K. And this has a commitment contract. So this app attaches incentives and accountability to goal setting and incorporates a user-appointed referee and a social network to encourage your success. So STICK is a really good thought about being able to incorporate a user-appointed referee that kind of keeps after you. Another one that I really like is 21 Habit. Now, this app applies, it gets even deeper, where it requires a user to pledge $21 to commit to a daily action for the next 20 days. Everyone talks about life coaches, and a number of people out there in the world always mention, if you can do something for 20 days in a row, it becomes a habit. So if you can stop smoking for 21 days, or you can stop drinking for 21 days, or you can work out for 21 days, then that repetition then helps you with that habit. Well, this app requires a user to pledge that $21 to commit to a daily action for 20 days, 21 days. And for each day the user successfully takes that action, then $1 is returned to you. Now, in the event the user does not take that pledge action, $1 is forfeited, and then it's donated to charity. So you can pick the different charities. You can go to their website and find out a number of different charities that are on there. There's everything from American Cancer Society to the Pat Tillman Foundation, which is a fantastic foundation as well. So for the NFL fallen athlete, Pat Tillman, that played for Arizona Cardinals. So $21, nice to have some accountability. I'm going to pledge $21 to a charity, and I get that dollar back if I follow through on my goal. You can set up, I think it's two or three goals at a time. There's a free session. You can do it. You can also do the monthly as well on their site. Just check their website out, and there's more there. I'm not going to become an expert on it, but just go to 21 Habit and check it out. Last one is BeMinder. BeMinder.com. BeMinder is an app that raises a commitment ante even more by assessing you a $5 charge for each time you fail to meet the commitment you've tried. So if you fail the first time, that's free. But after that, BeMinder takes your money. And there's a way to be able to do a monthly fee that is half of it will be donated to charity. But for the most part, if you want to make a commitment with your dollar, with your pocketbook, and make sure that you are doing these things you say you're going to do, BeMinder is probably the most severe. 21 Habit, and then Stick, STICK with a capital K. So it's two K's at the end, STICK, K, capital K at the end, are the three that I highly recommend, as well as Optimize, which is a great app as well. Check them out, you know what? And let us know what you think. We're anxious to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter, at Farrell Wealth. Please tweet us, call in the show, 219-476-9000. Let us know if any of these things really, really helped out. As far as our suggestions and whatever we might be able to help you achieve. But those are some apps that I think you might really enjoy. Now, I mentioned the healthcare real quick. I'm going to go into sort of that healthy body, healthy pocketbook, and how it can help you with your finances. And the healthier you are, the healthier your pocketbook is. And really, thankfully, retirement costs are not set in stone. And even though I mentioned that thing about the $124,000, and women will need to save about $140,000 for healthcare to get a 90% chance of being able to pay for their future medical bills. This is as of 2015, which is a staggering number, because I don't know how many of you have $124,000 or $140,000 laying around already saved up. But of course, you know, you're not going to have total control over your retirement, but there are some things you can do to kind of manage your health risk and potential costs, and I thought I'd give a few tips that might actually help you out. So one would be to get informed. With everything, including the show, I want to make sure you know that information is key. Medical expertise and advice is constantly changing, so keep yourself up to date on new healthcare news, particularly in regard to the issues that can be affected by you and related to you. I'll give you, for instance, in the state of Indiana here, UnitedHealthcare is leaving the state, and it's going to affect all of us as Hoosiers tremendously as of December 31st, 2017. That is very important that you are informed, especially if you're self-employed. You're going to lose UnitedHealthcare, and there are only a few options that are out there. Just to update everybody on this, nothing really can be done until November 1st, because that's when the exchange comes out and the prices are made. But right now, UnitedHealthcare is done, and as of December 31st, 2017, January 1st, 2017, you are done with UnitedHealthcare. The only ones that are available inside of the state of Indiana then will be Anthem. Now, Aetna has applied for an opportunity to offer healthcare for Hoosiers, but only in two areas. That would be the upper region where we are, and north towards Chicago, and then Indianapolis. So overall, there's been a massive change here and a massive expense that's gone on for a lot of people. I know it was a very contentious battle last night with the debate, but you really need to be able to get informed and make sure you're following these laws. You want to ask your doctor to identify areas or particular concern before the end of the year. It's October already. If you have met your deductible, you want to be making sure that you're doing some things or if you're close to your deductible, either way, you want to be able to make sure you're getting into the doctor, getting those appointments. You want to develop a plan because it's very, very important you do. Develop a plan with your healthcare just like you would develop an investment strategy or a savings strategy or even a retirement strategy. Next, so you want to get informed, but then next you really want to develop a healthy lifestyle. I talk about it all the time here. It boils down to really simple wisdom. Eat healthy, exercise regularly, limit fats and sugars, and increase intake of whole grains, you know, fruits, vegetables. If you haven't already, embark on an exercise program that you can stick with for the long term. And it's been a while since you've last exercised. Look, you know, there's no ego here. Consult your doctor before you begin, of course, but start slowly. You know, work up to your goals. Start setting your goals using some of those apps we have that I mentioned earlier. Maybe just start with a basic walk, for goodness sake. Just go out, take the dog out, whatever it might be. But you've got to start somewhere, so you need to develop a healthy lifestyle. Most importantly, you don't really realize how much stress has as a detriment to your health. You want to relax. This is probably my biggest problem as far as relaxing and not necessarily doing it, but maintaining friendships, focusing on hobbies, taking time to relax may help ensure really good mental health as well. And I've even mentioned this before, getting organized. We had Stephanie Jones on the show talking about how being organized really helps you save time and money. And it really benefits to make sure that you are organized because you don't necessarily stress about so many other things if you are organized. In fact, research shows that staying socially active in retirement can alleviate stress and reduce the risk of depression. So it may also aid in the prevention of Alzheimer's disease. So make sure you're constantly trying to figure out a way to be able to lower stress and because it's detrimental to your health. Next would be learning your numbers. I mean, staying healthy means monitoring key numbers, just like you monitor your investments and monitor your financial savings. You also want to monitor your key numbers, so you should know your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your BMI or your body mass index. Your blood sugar level indicates your risk for diabetes. Your doctor can perform simple tests to sort of identify these numbers and just recognize any vulnerability you may have. It's very important that you're following these. And what I've learned, certainly in investing and wealth management in the wealth management world, is you really need to be tracking it yourself. You can have other people track it, but and maybe you have a lawyer, an accountant doing things, or a financial advisor doing things for you. But when it comes to your health, nobody's going to track it the way you are. You really need to be making sure that you're tracking because there's just no way nobody's going to do it. Your doctor will give you a checkup once in a while, but they're not going to follow your BMI. They're not going to follow your cholesterol, your blood pressure. And now with all these different apps that are out there, I use iHealth as well as a number of different apps on my phone just to be able to track things and making sure that you're taking care of yourself. I learned a long time ago, I'm no good to my family or my clients if I'm dead. So make sure you're taking care of yourself and your doctor can form and sort of help you with all these tests. I highly recommend you get a checkup and do those sorts of things on a regular basis. And that would be preventative care. The last thing would be preventing a disease or illness is much less expensive and painful than treating one. So as recommended by your doctor, take advantage of these the free or low-cost diabetes, heart disease screenings that are out there, mammograms, and vaccines. Make sure that you're getting your annual physical. And there's really no way to guarantee you won't have unexpected healthcare costs in retirement. But maintaining a healthy lifestyle can help you reduce possible health-related expenses, not to mention avoiding spending precious time in the recovery room overall. And I just want to mention before we retire here for the day, recently, Bankrate.com came out with a ranking of the 10 best states to retire. And I just thought I'd mention it here, considering several key factors are important to all retirees, such as cost of living, access to health care, climate, and crime rates. And the results may surprise you. One of me will mention this just before we leave for the day. But Florida has always been in certainly the top 10, if not the top place for retirees to want to go and for a destination for retirees to live in retirement. Well, I have news for you. They're not even in the top 10 now. They've dropped out of the top 10, with 10 being Nebraska, 9 Arizona, South Dakota's 8. I feel like David Letterman with the top 10. South Dakota's 8. Montana's 7. Iowa is 6. This is going to be brutal for all those Hoosiers out there as we broadcast from Indiana, because they're not in the top 10. Virginia would be 5th. Idaho would be 4th. Utah would be 3rd. Colorado would be 2nd. And Wyoming is the number one state in which retirees find as though all their important aspects in retirement are met. Wyoming's number one. So you see a lot of western states there, a lot of mountainous states with a lot of activity. You see much more activity than maybe in the Midwest or even the East Coast. In fact, Virginia is the closest one on this list that even is listed on the East Coast. So everything else is either in the Midwest or the West, and isn't that interesting? I just thought it was fascinating that Bankrate recently came out the 10 best states to retire, and that's your list: Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, Idaho, Virginia, Iowa, Montana, South Dakota, Arizona, and Nebraska. That comes from Bankrate.com 2015. You can find that on our website as well at farrellwealth.com. The PDF that you can find on there for free is Healthy Body, Healthy Pocketbook. Check it out when you get a chance. We talked about investing with some apps and investing in yourself here on Healthy Body, Healthy Pocketbook. Some apps that can help you achieve your goal. I highly recommend you check out Optimized, Stick, as well as 21 Habit and BeeMinder. You can Google all three of those, and their apps and their websites will come straight up. And then also looking at what's important in a financial app, make sure that you have clarity and make sure you have security, relevance, and it teaches you something along the way. Didn't get to how stocks work, but we'll do that in another show. Gave the market update. Talked a lot about the deja vu going to the market as far as the bond market goes. I want you to be careful with those high-yielding investments out there that are probably overpriced, and what we're seeing is overpriced bonds. Making sure that not all bonds, but the high yields certainly in the emerging markets are getting up there. Want to make sure you're paying attention to that. And go Cubbies. So that's really our big push here, is to make sure that we are recommending great things for you, giving you some information you can use here on the show. The show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. And it's a wealth management firm here locally in Valpo. If you want to get a hold of us on the radio show, it's 219-476-9000. If you want to advertise on the show as well, we have a great media kit. Please contact us directly. With that being said, don't forget about October 20th, 2016 at 5:30 here locally in Valpo. Staying safe in a very scary world, protecting your business in a cyber world by your radio host here at WVLP as well, Ron Bush. I think that's about it. Greg Kovach, thanks again for a great day. Happy fall to everyone. It's fantastic out there. I hope you're enjoying all this. This is the best time to be in the Midwest by far. And with that being said, go Cubs.
Greg Farrell is the president, CEO of Farrell Wealth, and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. All individuals should get their proper advice investing and managing their personal finances. Money. Get back.